Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, international 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
1, 2, 3. Yeah.
to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. And magical engineer Frank, are you ready? I hope so. Frank's ready. I'm ready. And we are going to be talking in the first half of the show. We're going to be talking about genetic science. Is it accurate? Right? You ever wonder about that? Is, you know, science really giving us the truth about genetics? Well, we're going to talk about that, and thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. But before we get into all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. Hit the knees, speak the Lord's face, mind the time, because it grows short. And our devotional puts us in Matthew 24, and it says, "For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Oh, yeah, in a blink of an eye, right? Yeah, if you want to be in that moment with the Lord Jesus Christ, then seek the word of God, seek his face, make it right. Make sure your salvation is election sure, or you're going to be here with the bad guys. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thanks, Frank. Okay, so first up in the Quacker, study on cross-sex hormones and increases, apparently, heart risk in the transvestites by about 93%. This was the European Journal of Endocrinology, and they presented these findings to the annual meeting of the European Association. It was also a study for diabetes. So they said the cross-sex hormone therapies, they say, are causing serious physical issues within the person. One of the greatest risks, they said, is heart disease. Males who take female hormones are 93% more likely to suffer from heart disease than men who do not take them. Likewise, females who take the testosterone are 63% more likely to suffer heart disease than women who do not take those drugs. All right, last but not least in the quack report, here's a Virginia woman. She's feeling kind of sad, so she went to see her doctor. This was Robin Sipe. She said that she was really depressed and sad, emotional, that her cat recently died, and she was feeling lonely and depressed. She went to her heart doctor, Dr. Earl King. He treats her for a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and any condition that, you know, blocks airflow and it makes it difficult for her to breathe. So as he's talking to his patient, King mentioned that she should maybe think about getting a new cat when her checkup was over. That's what he said. He wrote it on the paperwork, get cat. So he also handed her instructions to get a high dose flu shot and a coronavirus vaccine. I take the cat advice for sure. And that wraps the quack report. Oh, sorry, Frank. I had my button pushed in. So sorry. He says, you're so bad at that. I do. Okay, there you are. I'm sorry. We're going to talk about genetic science. Is it accurate? Okay. And you may have heard me say, you know, that modern medicine uses a fallback excuse for conditions they really don't understand fully, explaining it away as being a genetic issue. In other words, they're saying there's no outward influences that contributed to the disease and the person was born with it. So here's the short list of the conditions science says is genetic. autoimmune disease, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and psychiatric illnesses. But the number one influence that I have found for a lot of these health conditions is brought about by what we expose the body to. So lifestyle is usually a major culprit. And we tend to live and eat like our family members. Therefore, you're going to see a connection in the family tree for certain health conditions. Now, prescribed medications that are taken into the body can also bring about health problems. Yet science has a different position. Here is a quote from Molecule Psychiatry, October 2021. They said the ability to directly assess people's genetic propensities has transformed research by making it possible to add genetic predictors of traits to a study. The value of polygenetic scores in the behavioral sciences rests on using inherited DNA differences to predict from birth common disorders and complex traits in unrelated individuals in the population. This predictive power of polygenetic scores does not require knowing anything about the processes that lie between genes and behavior, end of quote. And also the British Medical Journal said this in March 2023, the development and use of polygenetic scores is attracting money and attention, but for most common diseases, the unglamorous but well-established risk factors like smoking, obesity, socioeconomic deprivation matter more than a person's genetic background. We need to invest in tracking lifestyle risk factors, end of quote. I agree with that one. Well, here's this new study, October 2023. This is University College of London. They reported findings on a very large study published in the October 2023 British Medical Journal, and it was regarding human genes related to disease. So the research looked at 926 gene-related risks of 310 diseases. Science calls this polygenetic health risk, and they score patients to offer an estimate of their disease risk. So the overall findings showed that only 11% accurate that people develop the disease. 5% of the people who did test positive don't even develop the symptoms of the disease. They said unaffected people outnumbered the affected ones and more false positives than true positive results from genetic tests. Well, here's the problem. The test that they use to predict a patient's health risk to a condition has the impossible task of assembling millions of genetic variants, making the test likely to produce a false report. So medical science is using tests like this to screen for common conditions like heart disease. However, people need to know that perhaps the inaccuracy of the test is not a concern, though, to modern medicine, but an advantage, as it seems to have a 90% false positive result, putting more people through expensive tests and toxic drug therapies. Here's a quote from the University College of London. They say companies have already been established to sell polygenetic test scoring testing, and it's a major tool for the nationwide Our Future Health project. It has been proclaimed by science that polygenetic risk scores will transform the prediction and treatment of common diseases. Well, here's what Aaron Hingorani, if I pronounced that right, he's a medical doctor and professor of the Cardiovascular Science University College of London. He said this: strong claims have been made about the potential of polygenetic risk scores in medicine, but our study shows that this is not justified. He goes on to say, we found that when held to the same standards as employed for other tests in medicine, polygenetic risk scores perform poorly for prediction and screening across a range of common diseases, end of quote. So the report went on to state that if you are a polygenetic, if you're going to get one of these polygenetic tests, let's say breast cancer or coronary artery disease, the risk scores will offer an 88 to 90% of those tested positive are not going to be at risk. They're going to say you are, but you're not. 5% are not affected by the disease at all, and 10 to 12% of the cases will present an actual health risk. Whereas in May 2020, science said polygenic testing for diabetes would report a 59 to 65% predictable risk for the disease. And here is what doctors have been reading in their medical journals. This is the National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology. They said genome-wide association studies have shown unequivocally that common complex disorders have a polygenetic architectural structure and have enabled researchers to identify genetic variants associated with disease. These variants can be combined into polygenetic risk scores that capture part of the individual's susceptibility to disease. Polygenetic risk scores have been widely applied in research studies confirming the association between the scores and disease status. And they go on to say, polygenetic risk scores have moved from research discovery studies to clinical research studies and have now started to, on the slow path of clinical implementation. The strongest evidence of polygenetic risk score currently comes from cardiovascular disease and breast cancer, where risk stratification of those at high polygenetic risk have clinical utility. So in other words, going to use it as a test within healthcare and clinical practice. So this genetic testing is being sold as a health risk reduction to patients. So let's look at prediction versus explanation, because there are some scientists within medicine not completely sold on the polygenetic risk scores as being reliable. Here's Molecule Psychiatry. They said, proclaiming that these processes make polygenetic scores confounded, biased, or inflated as predictors confuses explanation and prediction. These studies require enormous efforts because samples of unprecedented size are needed and required to pan for, let's say, specks of gold from the sand of millions. Nice analogy. And this is also from British Medical Journal. They say, we must not let enthusiasm around polygenetic scores allow us to forget other factors that are bigger, more reliable, more modifiable, and relevant for everyone. They go on to say, we argue that the enthusiasm around polygenetic scores should not distract from efforts to tackle big, modifiable environmental risk factors, which in general to be population offering a wide utility. So they're looking at outside influences that affect disease, not just genetic scores. And another concern scientists did have is that the genetic pool often used for these pro-polygenetic research reports is not broad enough in genetic scope. Here is what the British Medical Journal said. The genetic variants used in the polygenetic scores are established in genome-wide association studies, with over 95% of the participants in these studies are European. So these scores, they say, will typically have lower predictive accuracy for being applied to people who are non-European in ancestry. So I agree with that. Now, Sir Nicholas Wald, professor at University College of London, Institute of Health Informatics, and it wound up in the British Medical Journal. He said, it has been suggested that polygenetic risk scores could be introduced early on to help prevent breast cancer and heart disease, but in the examples we looked at, we found that the scores contributed little, if any, health benefit while adding cost and complexity. We need to protect the public from unrealistic expectations and an already stretched public health system from becoming overburdened by the management of false positive results. Our results build on evidence that indicates your polygenetic risk scores do not have any role in public health screening programs. Kick it out, he says. Get rid of it. It's worthless. So what have we learned here? Scientific medicine, like any other business, uses new ways to sell patients on treatments. Always investigate tests and treatments. British Medical Journal says, contrary to what many people might expect regarding genetics, a high polygenetic score will generally have a rather underwhelming impact on absolute risk, and both clinicians and the public need to know this. End of quote. Well, you know, another step at manufacturing disease, basically. So what I often see happening within these scientific research reports is these studies are offering new ways to diagnose disease and sell more treatments, sending patients through tests, and often they're used to promote the treatments. So your tests are there to promote the treatments. We don't think of it that way, do we? Well, this is why it's important to investigate the accuracy of tests, get second opinions, and be open to other options for any necessary treatments that you may need. So in other words, tests are there to promote treatments. And a perfect example is the statin drugs that came out in the 70s for cholesterol. Prior to those drugs, a normal cholesterol was 300. When the drugs came out, a normal cholesterol was 200. So the test was altered to sell the drugs. So, you know, you want to be empowered out there. Knowledge is power. And I know it kind of feels like, oh, man, there's so much information. You know, what do I trust? Well, how's this? Let's say you go to your general practitioner, your cardiologist, or whoever you're going to, and you're not real excited about what they're telling you. Okay, you can get a second opinion. Okay, probably go through the test again. But then if your insurance isn't paying for it, you're paying for it. What if you just went to a really talented naturopath, right? Okay, have a consult. Bring your test stuff. Bring the recommended treatment plan. And ask him or her, what can you do to help me confirm or deny this problem I have? And if I do have the problem, what's the course of treatment you would recommend? And what would be the outcomes? So those are things, you know, I would be doing personally. I have gone to see a naturopath myself, and I just have nothing but good things to say. So I'm one of these people that I don't want disease management. I want a cure. See, I want to be better. A cure is a medical definition for putting the patient back in their original wellness before they got sick. And a naturopath is, you know, nutritionally educated, you know, and the body responds to nutrition. Also, your body responds to bad behaviors, not in a good way. So you're going to have to reevaluate lifestyle and if you have a condition. I had to reevaluate lifestyle, Frank. I had to look at my diet. My diet wasn't, you know, toxic, I didn't think, but there were certain foods that my body didn't like. Corn, for instance, almonds, lemon, coconut. I didn't know that. So when I ate these foods, the proteins from these foods aggravated my system. And then, you know, you can crop up with just about anything. Headaches, vision problems, swollen joints, you know, organ, any kind of organ disease, because the organs don't like it either. So we have to look what we're putting in the body, because what we put in really does matter. And one thing I know about natural medicine, it offers less toxicity, less side effects, and increases the body's ability to heal. So if you are ill due to, let's say, lifestyle, the option is, you know, change lifestyle and help the body heal itself. So if your lifestyle got you sick, altering lifestyle should get you better. So medicinal herbs empower all of us to do just that. Okay, so foods, spices, herbs. You know, these are medicinal elements, really. So we got to, you know, make sure the diet's clean and healthy and get rid of anything that we're sensitive to. Change up maybe even the supplements. Maybe you got a supplement that's not so great. And you can get a better one. Maybe you need to detox some heavy metals and some pharmaceutical residues. So you get the toxins out, put the nutrition in. You will be amazed how the body responds to that. So that's why, you know, when I became an herbalist, I wanted to do the cleanse and nourish kind of thing, where you did just that. You strengthened the immune system and the metabolic functions. Those are huge. Those are three things that are huge. Cleansing, metabolic strengthening, immune boosting. Huge, huge, huge. And you will be amazed at how you can sidestep a lot of disease with, you know, modifying the lifestyle, tweaking it, and using your medicinal herbs to purge toxins, put nutrition in, boost immunity. I mean, you have that power right now. That power is yours. You don't have to ask for a prescription and permission. You have that power right now. And it's like the world's best kept secret. That's why I went back to school and became an herbalist. I was like, oh, Frank says, how and why do we get to where we no longer can tolerate certain foods? Well, that's a good question, Frank. I even asked that question, and I would say part of the answer to that is some of the foods have been modified. And if you already had kind of like a sensitivity, and you can come in, go in and out of sensitivities. Like when I was a kid, I couldn't eat chocolate. I couldn't have chocolate. Then I grew out of that sensitivity in my 20s, but it came back in my 30s. So I guess the way to answer that question is, you know, if you do some cleansing of the body, you get those toxins that are built, stumbling blocks for the system to regenerate, heal, and cleanse and purge, well, then you're going to be more sensitive to certain things, and it's sort of like a reservoir. If you fill it to the brim, there's the breaking point where you're going to react, right? So you may not want to overdo a herb or even a food or spice you're sensitive to, maybe sometimes a little bit. Like I have a family member that's highly allergic to cow's milk, and they can have maybe a slice of pizza. But if they had more than that, it would be not a good idea. So we have to be sensitive to what our body's sensitive to so we can manage it better. And they're changing the food now, Frank. A lot of it's GMO. It's just not the same. Plus, they got all these chemicals on, you know, conventionally grown stuff. And I don't think people are tolerating that well at all. It changes the way you digest and break down, you know, protein into amino acid. So it's a whole digestive problem. And once you have a breakdown in that going on, it's a domino effect. And you're not metabolizing things right. And it's a mess. It can be a mess. That's why sometimes a naturopath can get that chemistry balanced for you, because they can do blood work and see what's going on. But in the meantime, if you want to learn more about herbs for cleansing, immune boosting, that kind of thing, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. They have a free product catalog to send you. That number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., call 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972. ThePowerHerbs.com. ThePowerHerbs.com. Take that power back. That's what you want. Feel empowered. They are in the middle of a harvest day sale, so you can save 15% on orders of $65 or more. Use coupon code HARVEST23 online, over the phone, or on your order form in your catalog. But you do want to hurry. The sale does end on October 31st, and restrictions apply. Good time to stock up on your cold and flu stuff. Ooh, I can see by the clock. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
To the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balanced chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Little change of beat. Thank you. All right, we're going to shift gears here. And you know what? I've been getting calls from people. Oh, my goodness. They have shingles. Can you hear me okay, Frank? Yeah. Okay, shingles. Yeah, people, you know, don't even know what it is. Most of the time, they just think it's a rash. And then, boom, they get hit by that nerve pain. So you may have noticed there's this aggressive ad campaign from Modern Medicine for the shingles vaccine. So in a lot of the TV commercials, people are, you know, carrying out normal physical activities, bicycling, jogging, whatever. And then the announcer saying shingles doesn't care. And the message is that shingles does not care how healthy you are and that it's a matter of time before you get and you suffer from the dreaded shingles. So they say you better get into your doctor and get your shingles shot. Well, let's revisit the shingles issue and want to be more in step with, you know, what it is and what an outbreak is and how likely is it and, you know, is there another option for you? So the vaccine pharmaceutical companies produce the shingles zoster virus. They call it Syndrix. It's a vaccine. This treatment is made by GlaxoSmithKline Biological. It was approved for market in 2006. And the target patient really is people over the age of 60. Now, by 2011, the age was reduced to 50. I get more people on that. And the projected market sales is like $600 million in just first 12 months it was on the market. So this is a herpes zoster virus vaccine. It does contain heavy aluminums because of the adjuvants supposedly to activate better antibody response. And the recombatant vaccine here is licensed for use by the FDA since 2017. So obviously the license came after it was on the market. So what is a recombatant vaccine? Well, drug companies use bacteria or yeast cells with disease DNA to insert into the cell that they have manufactured to put it into the vaccine. And at the time of its creation, this type of vaccine was really kind of new territory for the drug company. It was a test. And the vaccine is marketed as a prevention for shingles. Patients are given two doses of the vaccine. Syndrix, the vaccine, is a new type of shingles vaccine reported to have 100% effective rate compared to the live zoster virus vaccine, Zostervax. The Zostervax vaccine used a weakened form of the disease with a reported 51% effective rate. Well, anyways, life's a dice. They're injecting zoster virus right into your blood system. What do you suppose is going to happen? How does this work? Well, according to the product literature, the Syndrix vaccine is supposed to stop the nerve-ending pain called post-therapic neuralgia. This is the common complication for getting the shingles. According to immunize.org, there are risks to this vaccine, like most vaccines offer, which is, you know, severe allergic reaction to some sort of component in the vaccine following use. So the common side effects they listed were redness and swelling, probably at the injection site, itching, bruising, pain, headache, muscle pain, feeling tired, shivering and fever, gastrointestinal upset. Rare side effects listed were fainting, dizziness, vision changes, ringing in the ears, trouble breathing, rash, itching, swelling, swelling of the face, tongue, and throat, anaphylactic shock. However, this list is not a complete list, and it's kind of difficult to get the full list. The list that we have indicates a zoster viral infection. According to Fierce Pharma, this is October 2018. This is author Hayward. He's with Fierce Pharma. He says, doctors are worried patients won't return for the second dose if they experience these side effects. The CDC is saying that 1 in 6 patients will have side effects that prohibit their normal activities. Well, I'll say, you feel like you know what? So it appears that the product insert is telling doctors that approximately 50% of the patients will experience the side effects. However, the health authorities and the drug companies feel that 3 or more days of discomfort is well worth preventing having shingles. Well, that's, I guess, if it did prevent shingles, right? Well, let's understand shingles for a sec. What exactly is it? Well, it's a varicella zoster virus, which causes chickenpox. And that pesky little childhood disease can lie dormant after the person recovers from the initial outbreak. And the virus will settle on the ganglion nerve sheath, the cerebral ganglion nerve sheath, or the cranial nerves, or the posterior nerve roots. No, it likes the nervous system, let's put it that way. And as we age, the virus can give us shingles. It erupts as shingles. So it happens if we get stressed, or maybe your immune system gets a bit low. And as the reactivated virus spreads, it continues to multiply in the system and shoots up into the skin tissue and gives us pain. So the ganglion nerves, you know, well, it can destroy the host neuron as it travels up the sensory nerves to the skin. And this is where the pain's coming in. So this would explain why shingles is worse than the chicken pox. It's more painful. And that's what's happening. It likes to sit dormant. It's squatting on the nervous system. And then when you get all stressed out and your immune system takes a little dip, because when you get stressed, your immune system takes a dive, then it's going to say, all right, let's bother this person. And it shoots right up that nerve onto the skin tissue and gives you a sore and all this nerve pain. All right, so let's just look at the statistics, and I am going to ask this question. Are these statistics or are these scare tactics? Medicine would have the public believe that if you have had chickenpox, the risk is high that you're going to develop painful shingles at least once in your lifetime. And we're told that there is a 2 in 10 person risk of getting them. So in the United States, about 500,000 people contract shingles every year. And that is almost 1,500 people a day. So people over 50 years of age tend to get shingles most likely because their immune system is weaker. All right, let's look at the shingles Zostervax vaccine so we can get a comparison. So this is what was discovered about the first shingles vaccine. So the vaccine, the safety data link study published March 2014 in the Journal of Internal Medicine said that the shingles vaccine is safe. And I go, is it really? According to Dr. Julian Whitaker of the Whitaker Wellness Institute, the study in the journal is questionable. He says the study was conducted by the CDC and Kaiser Permanente Insurance. He stated that the research published stated that there was only a small increased risk of local reaction or redness and pain a week within getting the vaccine. The researchers also said that there was no risk of contracting meningitis, cerebral vascular disease, cardiovascular diseases, encephalopathy, which is inflammation of the brain, Bell's palsy, or Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. And mind you, this study was conducted on the vaccine safety after it had been out for use since 2006. So according to Dr. Whitaker, there is no evidence that the shingles vaccine prevents future or repeat outbreaks, yet it is being marketed as such. Patients need to keep in mind that the shingles vaccine costs about $220, and the shingles is not a life-threatening disease, but it is uncomfortable. So the National Vaccine Information Center says on their website that the shingles vaccine is a live virus made by Merck and is recommended for adults over 50. They reported that the side effects from the vaccine were pain, redness, swelling at the injection site, a zoster-like rash, headache, joint, muscle pain, fever, abnormally swollen glands, and anaphylactic shock. They also reported 51% effectiveness. So the mass inoculation program for chickenpox is believed to have brought on an increase in shingles in adults. So Merck is simply repackaging your chickenpox vaccine. It made it 14 times stronger, and they're calling it the shingles vaccine. So the public is not informed of this by their physicians, and Merck lied about the numbers. Here is a quote by David Brownstein, MD. He said, Merck touts a 39% decline with the use of the vaccine. Further analysis of the data might lead you to a different conclusion about 0.4% of the unvaccinated persons versus 0.14% of the vaccinated persons developed neuralgia or nerve pain. 39% declined in less than accurate. So we looked at all these numbers for more accurate absolute risk, and we came up with a decline risk of 0.26% of the neuralgia in those that were vaccinated. So it wasn't 39%. It was 0.26%. So they massaged those numbers. Now, some doctors will not get the diagnosis of shingles right on the first try because early symptoms tend to mimic other conditions like diabetic peripheral neuropathy, the flu, appendicitis, or palsy. Pleurisy. So early symptoms include fever and overall weak feeling, and within 2 to 4 days, a burning sensation, some shooting pain, tingling or itching on one side of the body and or on the face will appear. So the pain normally lasts about 4 weeks, and then the rash or blisters appear usually within 14 days, and they contain some clear or even pussy fluid, and the blisters will scab over in about 10 days after appearing. So you want to be careful not to, you know, rupture the blisters, or they will become more infected, and such infections will enlarge your lymph nodes and also become infected. So with the disease, sometimes appears on the face, and there's risk of complications involving hearing and vision. So if the shingles virus reaches the cornea, it can become infected, and the chance of temporary or permanent blindness could result. Dizziness, loss of taste are also common symptoms, and in rare occurrences, if the infection encompasses the central nervous system, muscle atrophy and motor paralysis may occur. Another symptom that can occur is considered a residual symptom called post-hepatitic neuralgia, which is persistent pain from the shingles lingering for months or years after the outbreak is resolved. This usually happens in the elderly patients, and more symptoms, if you want to know more symptoms, you can find them always on the internet. So let's just recap. So you've got this chickenpox vaccine, they're pumping into kids. And one virologist told me, when you come in contact with the zoster virus, the chickenpox virus, you're going to get chickenpox. Okay? You're just going to get chickenpox. And unless you have some sort of natural immunity to it. You know, my brother got chickenpox, Frank. He had those things all over him. Looked like a polka-dotted guy. I didn't get it. And then when I had blood work done, when I had my first kid, I remember the gynecologist telling me that I had a natural immunity to chickenpox. And I never, you know, back in the 60s, they didn't have chickenpox vaccines yet. So I never got a vaccine for it. I just have a natural immunity to it. But my brother didn't. And so he's more at risk, obviously, of getting shingles if he gets stressed or his immune system takes a dip. Me, not so worried. But the thing is, you inject chickenpox, zoster virus, into your arm muscle, which in 2 hours is in your blood system, in which your patrolling antibodies don't see as a threat because it didn't get the inner memo that you were sick with chickenpox because you didn't contract it the normal way. So you don't make an antibody. And the thing that I'm seeing with the shingles virus vaccine is it's promoting more outbreaks of shingles, even in the vaccinated. So you may even get an acute form. So you do your homework on it. Do your homework on any of those treatments. It's just what I've been reading medical journals. I know you're not out there reading medical journals like I am, but here's something that you may be able to utilize. Barberry bark has barberine in it. It has a natural inhibitor to the zoster virus. What it does is it keeps it in a dormant state, so it doesn't erupt, doesn't affect you. First signs of shingles, if you take some barberry bark, it kind of is a nip it in the bud kind of deal, and it will, you know, it'll just tap it on down, and it puts it in, back in a dormant state. So I'm saying, well, why would you risk a vaccine when you got some barberry bark handy? You won't, and you know, vaccines, viral vaccines always run the risk of neurological damage. Always. I've heard this from virologists and I've read in journals, as you know. So I wouldn't risk it. So if you already have a full blown case of shingles, I would use willow bark and meadow sweet for pain and inflammation, the barberry bark. I would take some immune support herbs, definitely. So, you know, you got tools. There is a shingles kit, by the way, at the powerherbs.com. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have a shingles kit that's very handy. And there's reviews online for that item if you want to check it out. Be empowered out there. Have some options, especially, you know, if we're going to have some sort of stressful struggles in this nation and you can't get to a physician, you're going to want a backup. I know I would. So thepowerherbs.com, if you want to go online, or give them a call at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. And, of course, yes. Those pain medicines, barberry bark, and all these other formulas are in their Shingles Beyond kit to help you. Definitely a winner. All right, we got a few minutes, so we're going to talk about study full of surprises, some research. They were done. It was a study supported by grants from the Generation Rescue, Inc. Corporation and the Children's Medical Safety Research Institute, and they found in 2017 that vaccinated children have a higher mortality rate if they're in the ages of 6 to 12 years of age. Research looked at the long-term effects of vaccination, morbidity, and mortality. So before this report, there was really very limited reports on this subject, and there is what the study looked at, the difference between vaccinated public school children and unvaccinated homeschool children. Here's some of the reports. This is open access text. They said, in our pilot study of vaccinated and unvaccinated children, we found that there was a reduction in occurrence in chickenpox and whooping cough with the vaccinated, but also in the unexpected increase in physicians diagnosing many other conditions. So the vaccinated ones came down with other conditions. They went on to say, we found a consistent correlation between dose response of the vaccinated and several forms of chronic illnesses and the significant association between vaccination and neurological development diseases. This supports the aspect that the current vaccination program can be contributing to higher risk of children's disease and morbidity. Premature births, also coupled with vaccination, was also associated with neurological development disorders. All right, so vaccinated. I mean, here's another quote. This is Dr. Neil Miller, Children's Health Defense. He said, the results definitely indicate better health outcomes among the conditions studied in children who did not receive vaccines within their first year of life. These findings are consistent with additional research that has identified vaccination as a risk factor for a variety of adverse health outcomes. Such findings merit additional large-scale study for vaccinated and unvaccinated children in order to provide optimal health as well as protection against infectious diseases. Yeah, so they've not been truly upfront with a lot of this. Here is Center for Disease Control. Vaccination is considered to be one of the most important advances in modern public health. Currently, children between birth and 6 years of age receive up to 36 vaccine doses to protect against 14 different diseases. I don't know about you, Frank, but, you know, I think I got maybe 6 vaccines by the time I was 5. Children's Health Defense says, in a separate analysis, children receiving more vaccines by 1 year of age were more likely to be diagnosed with gastrointestinal disorders compared to those who received no vaccines within that same time frame. In temporal analysis, children vaccinated prior to 6 months of age showed significant risks of each of the disorders studied in compared to the unvaccinated. So they looked at, you know, upper head infections, throat infections, ear infections, sinus infections. The kids were more predisposed to those types of infections. The National Library of Medicine chimed in and said, although evaluation of vaccinated viruses and unvaccinated populations is essentially an understanding of the full spectrum of health effects associated with specific vaccines and the childhood vaccine schedule in totality, yeah, you really need to look at the big picture, how many vaccines, how they're being given, and, you know, look at the correlation research with regards to the neurological conditions of kids just soaring, also the diabetic disease just soaring. And there's been studies that have linked, and there's doctors have given presentations on this and wrote articles in journals, but they're largely ignored. So this study that was done in 2020 by the U.S. National Library of Medicine said they were looking at and comparing the health of vaccinated versus unvaccinated pediatric populations. And what they found was there was, in the vaccinated, there were developmental delays, asthma, ear infections, gastrointestinal infections, developmental delays in over 32%, vaccine doses within the first 6 to 24 months, and then 3 to 5 year age groups, you got more developmental delays. Asthma, 49%. Ear infections, almost 28%. So they see correlations in results comparing to groups of kids. Well, let's look at the Amish kids. Huh? They don't have these things. They don't have these things. There's no Amish kids with, you know, Tourette's syndrome or autism. Think about that for a minute. It's uncanny that, you know, people aren't looking at that correlation at all. Well, scientists don't want to look at it, you know. Drug companies frown upon that kind of thing. So encourage you to do your homework on your vaccines, because God has placed on this planet herbs with inhibitors to a lot of those problems. So we got to get back to God's medicine, see, and, you know, protect ourselves. The information in the Bible is pretty clear, and there's no stuttering. Herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. Simple. I don't think health is supposed to be complicated. We make it complicated. So clean water, you know, watch the alcohol, you know, forget the tobacco. You know, just moderation on a lot of that stuff, and sugar, of course, you know, get the sugar. If you get the sugar out of the diet, you're going to do wonderfully well. You know, use honey. Use some really good organic honey. Just, you know, get to the basics. You know, how the Bible wants us to live. Well, I'm out of time, so don't forget the folks at Apothecary Herbs do have that harvest sale on. You'll save 15% through the end of the month. Details are on their website, or give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Oh, Frank is asking, what about molasses? Now, molasses is sugar cane, but it's the base of the plant near the soil where all the minerals are. That's why it's darker. Molasses has more minerals and vitamins in it than processed sugar. So, yeah, you can go with that. Well, I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, you know, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well.